sitting and listening. I'm sure glad he's only 16. We still got him for a few more years around here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be behind the holy pulpit again. Amen. It's always good to be on this side of the pulpit. Amen. I was thinking of Cheese and Tucker, and I'm just glad you guys do that so I got something to be make things laugh and happy. You guys are some of the best guys around. But I sure like picking on you. You'd think something wrong if I didn't pick on you, wouldn't you? Amen. So, amen. Well, take your Bible. We're going back to Acts chapter 17. I've got, this is a series on about hell and what you think about hell and what are you going to do about hell. Hell is a real thing. I hear a lot of people saying that, that's just a baloney. We're going through hell here, and this morning I gave three reasons why it's not hell. Number one, Christians are not in hell. And number two, you can't get a drink of water because there's no water in hell. Can you imagine going camping? Can you imagine going camping for 2 days like we did and there's no water? A kid playing in the fire and dirt and gravel, and they needed a good bath when they got home. Amen. In fact, my mama, what she'd probably done to me is taken this water hose and squirted me off before he let me get in the house. Amen. And number three, the gospel is not going to be preached in hell, because once you're in hell, there's a one-way street and you can't get out. And the gospel gives us a way out. Gospel saves us. Gospel gives us life everlasting. And so three ways, especially, that we know that this is not hell. This can be some pretty dangerous place, this old world, as we've seen last week down in Chattanooga, those five brave Marines whose lives were assassinated, killed by a Muslim. Don't you get sidetracked on that. We're in war. And we're in a terrible war. And we're in a war that we don't know who we're fighting against. They don't have enough backbone to put a uniform on. They just sneak around. And so these lone wolves, or whatever you want to call it, you need to be vigilant. And you need to be careful. Even in Great Falls, we have no idea. Who in the world ever think the Muslims come into Chattanooga, Tennessee, and do something like that? We have a base that's just about a mile away from us, and they're targeted, whether you like it or not. So just remember, you're always vigilant, always looking around, watch yourself, make sure these doors are always locked, make sure there's somebody around, make sure you gentlemen that have the capacity to conceal, do that. I want it concealed. I don't want you showing it off. But you should do that stuff. I do that just for your protection. And you ought to think of those things. You ought to think of those things. And you say, well, I don't like it. Well, I don't like five Marines who gave their life to our country to be assassinated by an idiot. Thank you. I'm done with that. Okay, just want you to know. I didn't want you to wonder where I was standing on that. Okay. All right. Let's all stand. Acts chapter 17. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you got your swords with you. Look at all the Bibles that people have in this church. Amen. I'm happy about that. Bring your Bible to church. Amen. I'm gonna just pull off a little bit. I was at a preacher's conference the other day, and I heard an evangelist say. He says, I'm a little concerned with everybody bringing their Bible on their phone. And I have no problem with you having your Bible on your phone. I have no problem with your Bible on your iPad. I don't have no problem with any of that. But what he said was, when I'm on the airplane, sure, I could read my Bible on my iPad or iPhone, but nobody knows it's a Bible. So he said, I pull up my Bible, and people respect that book, whether you like it or not. And so I took that man's advice, and I grabbed a Bible. The second thing he said, he told the preacher, he said, well, I'll preach on an iPad. And I thought, oh boy. I said, well, all right, here it goes. And but I always bring my Bible to the pulpit. You know that? And he said, I'll show you the difference. And he took his Bible, dropped it on the floor. He says, now do that with your iPad. I got the point. I got the point. Amen. So, yeah, oh boy. So he said, it's a testimony carrying your Bible with you. And so I have no problem you got it, but as a man of God, I'm supposed to be a man of the book, and I should have my book with me all the time. And I, because of that, got on that Delta aircraft the other day and opened up my Bible, amen, read my Bible all the way there, as much as Mark should let me, of course. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. Of course, we're talking about the times from Adam all the way to Jesus Christ's birth. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God says, okay, I've had great mercy, but now's the time you need to repent. Now's the time. You got to make things straight now. Because he hath appointed a day. And the Bible said that day's coming. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You see the day approaching? The day. I don't know about you, but it sure seems like the Lord's coming back soon. If not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, but he's coming, amen. So he said, appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Now I want you to remember that word right there. That man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Who is that man? Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's coming a day. There's coming a day that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And we all have a meeting with, there's a destiny of meeting the deity. We're all going to meet the deity. We're all going to meet Jesus. I was telling a fellow the other day, I said, whether you believe it or not, you will stand before a holy God someday. And you will confess your sins before that holy God. And you will not have your daddy with you, your mama with you, your grandma, grandpa with you, aunt or uncle, any godly preacher with you. You're not going to have them there. You are going to stand alone. You will not have your husband with you. You will not have your wife with you. You and I have your children with you. You will stand alone before the holy God of heaven. And that deity is going to judge you for the things you've done good and things you've done bad. Or he will judge you for not having a name in the book of life, and you will be plummeted into hell that burneth forever and ever in the hell and brimstone, and you will never, never get out of that place. You got a choice. Your choice is, you accept Christ as your personal Savior. He saves you. He saves you from the miry clay and sets your feet upon the rock. Or he says, I never knew you. And he casts you into hell and you'll burn forever. So you have a choice. And I cannot make that choice for you. I can encourage you. I spoke this morning about how we have a free will. All of us have a free will. We can do what we want to do. And even sometimes do things we don't want to do, but we will suffer the consequences either side. Some consequences are very good. Serving the Lord, serving your parents, obeying your parents, the consequences are wonderful. Disobeying your parents, disobeying the law, not good. And so we as Christians got to understand that thing, and well as unsaved people who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've got to understand that there is a day coming that they will stand before a deity. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the God that you are, the forgiving God. Lord, help us to be a repentant people in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I bring up the subject. Scripture says that all men, everywhere, to repent. But now commandeth all men, everywhere to repent. God has ordained a judge. And God has not only appointed a day, but He's ordained a judge. Our text says that He will judge the world in righteousness. We do not always get a square deal here on earth, but all accounts will be straightened up there. You don't know my motive. I've had some people question my motives in my life. They question my motives. Because many times in life we run into people that are not square with us. We run into people that are not fair with us. We run into people that may take advantage of us. And therefore, we have built this shield in front of us that when we see somebody do something good, it's like when the guy brought home some candy to his wife, she said, "What'd you do?" Or bring home a bouquet of flowers, she says, "What are you getting me that for?" Because it's so inconsistent of his living. And the guy comes home from work and he smells this wonderful, wonderful meal, his favorite meal. Broccoli and cauliflower. And Brussels sprouts. And he says, "Why'd you pick me this?" And she has to go in and tell him, "Well, you need the vitamins. I'm not going to eat your Brussels sprouts." But anyway. And so people question your, why are you doing things? But God knows everything about us. How many believe that? God knows everything about me. He says, "I know you're down sitting in the uprising." He says, "I know where you lay down and I know where you get up." He said, "If you take the wings of the morning, I am there. If you make your bed in hell, I am there." God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. How can that be? Because He's a spirit. And God knows everything about us. And therefore, as we understand that, God understands our motives. Many times I'll do something for somebody and they'll say, "You know, what's that about? What's wrong?" I texted a man the other day. I was praying for him. I really had a desire for this man's heart, and I was praying for him. And all of a sudden, I get this rude text back. He said, "Why? What do you want?" And I just spent time praying for the guy. But that's my job, right? That's my job. So we want to be very careful where we, when people come to us and question us of our what we're doing, we just keep doing what we're supposed to do, amen. Because God is going to judge us in what? Righteousness. God knows our motives. I hope to God your motives are pure. We do not always get a square deal on earth here. But I'll guarantee you, when we stand before a holy God in heaven, one-on-one, all accounts will be settled then. God has a standard righteousness and it must be met. And He has never compromised with presenting some fuzzy notion what is right or wrong. It's either right or it's wrong. I love that. I don't like to be around people that you're not sure where they really want. And how many ever had a job with a guy that you worked for him, but you always weren't sure what he really wanted? Man, give me black and white. Don't give me that gray area business. One day he's up. One day he's down. One day you can please him. Next day he's cussing you. He's going to fire you. Instead of a guy just straight on, you do your work, he's happy for you, amen. Boy, that's the kind of people you like to be around, amen. Yes, there was a day when God overlooked the time of ignorance. Did they have the whole Bible? Did Noah have a Bible? You're supposed to say no. No, they didn't have a Bible. But he did what God told him to do. I am sure that God gave enough information to know how to trust him, amen? I'm sure that they'd heard from Adam, their father, and Seth, and Enoch. And we even read in the seventh generation, who's Enoch, we read over there in Jude, and tells about the preacher of righteousness. So they had something. But God has never overlooked sin in any age. The light has come in Jesus Christ. Everyone has a Bible tonight. Raise it up. You have the law. You have God's Word in your heart. And you've got God's Word in your hand and on your lap. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can go to the Bible and look at that love letter from heaven and tell me what I ought to do and what I shouldn't be doing. Has me the way to raise my children. Tells me how to raise my children. Tells me how to treat my wife. Teach you how to treat your husband. Teach you how to treat your family. Tells you how to treat your pastor. Tells you how to treat your church. Yeah, it's all in there. If you just read it. We can never attain God's righteousness, but His Son has made was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When we trust Christ, His righteousness becomes our righteousness. If we are ready for that appointed time, we will be clad in the righteousness alone. We will be faultless to stand before the throne. But He who is our Savior now is ordained our judge later. God will judge the world by the man whom He hath ordained. He has attested to the fact by raising him from the dead. There was a story of a woman who had a lawsuit coming up in court. She meant to secure the services of a leading lawyer of her community, but she delayed coming into his office. When she finally did ask him for help approaching litigation, he said, "I am so sorry, but I have been appointed a judge. I could have pleaded your case easily and earlier, but now I'm only the judge." And what a beautiful illustration that today, when we sin and when we go against the principles of the Word of God and we don't live unrighteous, we can go to a righteous Son of God, and He says He will plead my case before the Father and He will forgive me of my sins because of His blood. Amen? But one of these days, it's going to be too late and He will be the judge. You've all heard that story about the young man who was out in the water in Lake Michigan, and he was drowning, and a man was riding his carriage towards the city of Chicago, and he saw this man flailing out there screaming, "Help!" And he went down, and the guy jumped out and dove in the water and grabbed a hold of that guy and brought him in. Saved the man's life. 2 years later, the same man that was drowning was in court. And guess who the judge was? The guy that saved his life. And the man had a warm, fuzzy feeling when he saw that judge. And he said, "Judge, you remember me?" And the judge kind of looked at him and said, "Yes, I believe I do." He says, "Aren't you the fellow that I saved from Lake Michigan?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I am so glad you're going to be my judge because now you can help me." He says, "Son, 2 years ago I was your Savior. Today I'm your judge. I will be as fair as I can, but I will be your judge." Same way with God. The Lord Jesus Christ today is our lawyer. He's our paraclete, the one who will come alongside. He's the one that will come and be our, he's the advocate. sir, he's the advocate of me. And he'll plead my case. But today is going to come that you're going to be the judge. Jesus Christ is willing to be our Savior. He wants to be our advocate if you commit your case to Him now. But if you fail to do it, He'll be your judge and on the appointed day, and God has ordained Him to be the judge. A lot of smooth-talking preachers today overlook the aspect of His work. We hear a lot of about the meek and lowly Nazarene going about doing good. Some make much of the Saviorhood, as well as they may. They thank God for both Christ and teacher and Jesus as Savior, but they better wake up to the fact that they're going to stand before Him face to face entirely different capacity someday. And I want to be right before God. We are now hearing much of these days about the man whom God had ordained a judge for the appointed day. God has commanded also repentance. Not only has God appointed a day, ordained a judge, but He has also commanded repentance. We will observe that God does not merely invite us to repent, nor does He suggest repentance. He commands it. Repent. He tells me every day, repent. Every time I cross over and do something or say something I shouldn't say or have that feeling of something, God commands me, repent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That takes a repentance. To many today, mistake God's commandments to a mere invitation. Too much of the modern day preaching popularity recommends repentance. It is a lack of solemn backdrop of approaching judgment. There are people that just don't get it. God wants us to repent. God wants us to feel sorry and shameful for our sins. I see people today that have open sin, and people see their sin, and they just think, well, God forgave me. There's no shame, no embarrassment. We're attacking the Lord Jesus Christ every time we sin. We're taking advantage of the one who, many times I'll pray in the morning, I said, dear God, I am so sorry for my sins, that what You had to do to save me from our sins, and what You had to do to that even today that I sin, Lord, forgive me of that. God commands us to repent, to believe, to obey, and to do many other things. And all disobedience is what? Sin. There's no fear of God in the eyes of seems like this generation. I mean, it's blade out. If I did, I won't. But how many of you this week invited somebody to come to church and say, I'll be there? And you look around, they're not here. It lights straight out to you. There are people who say, well, I'll do this. And they never show up. People are, this generation just kind of, well, whatever. It's convenience. If I have a convenient thing, I'll tell you what, it wasn't a convenient thing to give $160 to a kid to go into camp. That's not convenient. It's a lot of money. But I'll guarantee you by the power of the Word of God that next week or maybe in a couple weeks, you're going to see something that God is going to take care of for you. Happens every time. You say, but I didn't get any money. Yeah, but your car could have ran a couple more weeks. Your washing machine didn't break. Your hot water heater didn't explode. Your, you know, the food that you had in your refrigerator didn't rot on you. There's always things that you should be thankful for and praise God for. God is regarded as the grand fatherly being trotting us on his knee and winking at our wickedness. Don't you treat God that way. Don't you treat God that way. God is the God of righteousness. God, to most modern individual, is no more than the moral force of Santa Claus. But the God of the Bible is the God of holiness, and he hates sin. He despises sin. He despises the things that we do wrong. It upsets him to see who a born-again child of God doesn't see the importance of living a holy life. I was talking to my sister and brother-in-law the other day. We were going to church down to see my brother-in-law. I mean, my nephew's church. And she said, you know, it really confuses me that how people take God so lightly. And she was pointing out a couple of houses we went by. He said, that family used to go to our church. And that family used to go to our church. But they felt that our church was too holy. And they had the liberty. And she said the only liberty they had was believing us. They had the liberty to sin. None of us have the liberty to sin. It is not right to go against the principles of the Word of God. Well, it doesn't bother me. I have liberty and grace now. Where do you find that at? Tell me where you get that in the Bible. We are to live more holy and more separate than this world. We're to be different than this world. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Is not that what the Bible says? Do you believe the Bible? Is the Bible the holy word of God? I go to some churches, the way the girls dress, they look like harlots. The Bible says if you show your thigh, that is the dress of a harlot. No, there are more tattoos on people. I don't understand. Where are you getting that? The Bible says you're not supposed to paint your flesh or burn it. That's what the Bible says. You say, I don't like that preacher. I got a tattoo. I'm sorry for you. I really am. I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry. And then I'll find some Christians, they try to cover it up, but you can't always cover it up. It's always there. If you're here tonight and you got one of them things, I feel sorry for you because they're sure hard to get rid of. I know that's not the end, but I will tell you something. I want to tell my young kids in here, you don't have to do it. It's against the Word of God. You say, I don't like that. Well, God doesn't like it. I'm just his little servant boy. Just do what the Bible says. Now, I know some of you guys did those things out of ignorance. I was going to say foolishness, but ignorance is a nicer word. Did it out of ignorance. But I'm going to tell you, you're not supposed to do that. Just what the Bible says. Do you believe the Bible? Every one of us tonight, every one of you agreed with me when I started preaching tonight and said, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. But don't mess with my private little sin. Don't mess with me. Well, I'm telling you something. If the Bible says he's against it, I'm against it. I want my wife to look like a lady. Mrs. Ortiz, one day we had some blouses, not blouses, but like shirts. And they're really pretty, but they're a little bit low, lower than I like on her, and lower than she would ever wear. And Mrs. Ortiz said, we can fix that. I saw that. She just turned it around. She got a low back, but it's high front. Hey, man. You're a smart lady. I can tell you raised a whole bunch of girls, amen. I don't know nothing about it. I raised three boys, man. I don't understand about that stuff. I'm amazed about what you ladies have to wear. God bless you. Wow. I had no foggy. I was the only boy. I stayed away from my sisters. I'll tell you that much. I stayed away from them. They're dressing her. I had nothing to know about that. And then I get married, and we have three boys. You just tell the boys, go get dressed. They put their socks on, pair of pants on, T-shirt. Man, they are ready to go. You poor ladies. God have mercy. Amen. But the God of the Bible is a holy God that hates sins. And He appointed today's day of judgment. And yes, we will be judged by what the Bible says. Remember, you agreed to that way back. Amen. He was ordained a judge. He commanded all men and everywhere to repent. Whoever you are, wherever you are, poor, rich, beggar, thief, there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you drive a Cadillac or ride a bike, no matter which side of the railroad tracks you live, your home is, you must repent. And except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance must be accompanied by faith. And the Apostle Paul preached repentance toward God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. You must repent and believe the gospel. Then coming judge can be your present Savior if you put your trust in Him. We can know whom we have believed and be persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him the last day. Hallelujah. The way to get ready for the day appointment is to trust Him who will be the judge that is going to be ordained to judge over us. If we are saved today, we shall be safe on that day. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Man, I'm glad about that. Sometimes I don't act like that. And sometimes you don't act like that. But thank God that I'm safe. You ever play baseball? Hit a single, run down to first base. All the time you're out there, they're trying to get you. Step off the base, pitcher throws it to the first baseman. Tries to tag you, whacking the head, whacking the back, trying to get you. And all of a sudden, you think you can make it. You run down to second base, and you slide. And somebody's trying to get you. That idiot catches, throwing it down in second base. And then you wait. You think you got the chance. You run to third, good night. You're really after it. Isn't that amazing? But boy, when you get into home. Yeah, buddy, yeah. High five the whole thing. You're home, safe. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have invited the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior and you've asked Him to forgive your sins and you believe that He died on the cross and rose on the third day and you asked Him to be your Savior, you're home safe. That gives me great, great, great happiness. I just got a phone call on my iPad right now. I think my aunt just passed away. My Uncle Johnny's wife had a hemorrhage yesterday of her brain. My Aunt Dorothy, if she did, is in heaven. Absent body, present with the Lord. That's safe and whole. I don't have to worry about it. Repentance is a change of mind towards God. It's a turning your belief to faith in the Savior. Faith is Christ means simply to trust Him and commit all you have to Him. It can be done in a moment that will last you for eternity. We have an appointment to be kept, and we must meet God. Better to meet Him now in mercy to face him on that unbearable day of judgment. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "Behold, now is acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." There is an appointment day where there is an acceptable time today, and we need to get ready. Psalmist said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forgot God. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he shall rejoice. He that rejoiced shall descend into it." A lot of people rejoiced about our courts last week. But I'll tell you what. They're rejoicing, but the Bible said he shall descend into it. "For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works." One of these days, it's going to come. One of these days, you will stand before the deity. You will stand before Jehovah God. You will stand before the Savior. But he will be no longer the Savior. He will be the judge. No mercy. Mercy's over. He has told us. He has told us. He has told us. He has told us. Remember your child? You've told him and 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 told him. Finally become the judge and executioner. There's a certain time. There's a certain time God said, that's it. Draw the net. It's over. Send the fire. We're done. That's why it's so important for us to go out and win our neighbors and our friends, even our enemies, win them to Christ, because one of these days it'll be over. All over. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray you just help us as we look into the Word of God, as we've looked into the Word of God and seen the preciousness of it. Oh God, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, if there'd be anyone here not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven, that tonight would be that night. Lord, there are so many people who are just still running and running and running and running. There are just so many people that just won't get it. They're blinded. And they always think, I got one more day. I'm sure that 19-year-old girl that was killed out there by Flood Road there the other day by Fox Farm, she had no idea that she'd be slung into eternity. That young man that last week was on his motorcycle never realized that he would crash his motorcycle into that sign there at the Old Godfather's and gone. So unrecognizable, the highway patrolman who was his best friend didn't even recognize who he was. God, those days are coming. None of us have a promise of tomorrow. We don't have a promise tonight. So, dear God, help us to be ready to meet our Maker, ready to meet the Judge. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, would you please tonight, please, I beg you, would you please pray for me tonight that I would accept Jesus as my Savior? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you." As it looks, then, don't be raising your hand. So you're on the right side of the judge, but how are you with your walking with God? How are you for serving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? How are you doing? Maybe tonight you ought to use this altar. Not maybe, you should use this altar and get those things confessed, because you have no idea for tomorrow. Have no idea. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you all to stand. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now and say, today, tonight, I want to get saved. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord and believed his baptism. Why don't you come? Why don't you do what the Bible says? The Bible said even the Christians are going to be judged for the things we've done, good and bad. Wood, hay, and stubble, he said. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, there's some things in my life that I really don't want to meet the judge about. Well, why don't you just do what the Bible says and ask God to forgive you right now? And he'll cover them with the blood. He'll cover them with his blood and say, you're forgiven, son, when you repent. Why don't you come use the altar tonight? God, there are some things in my life that I need to get straightened out. Maybe it's been a long time you've been out sowing and telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Maybe it's been a long time you haven't asked anybody to come to church with you. Maybe it's been a long time that you had family devotions at home with your children. Maybe it's been a long time you and your wife put your arms around each other and prayed and begged God for your children. Maybe it's been a long time that you put your arms around your daddy's neck and prayed for him and loved him. Maybe it's been a long time you got in your Word of God and studied it and read it until your heart was full. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for loving us and caring for us. God, I pray you'd help us to live more like you. Please, God, I beg you to help us to be more righteous. Help us to be quick to repent. Help us to be quick to forgive. Lord, help us to live for you. We love you, Lord God. You're a wonderful God to us. Please, God, help us live more like you. Now, I pray, Lord Jesus, as we go over to the other place and have some food, pray you'd bless that food and thank you for it. Pray also for our trip to down to camp tomorrow. Keep us safe. Help our bus to run good there and back and bring the kids home safely. Lord, I pray you'd protect them while we're there. Keep the devil, imps of hell, in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, away from us so we can get something done there. Be the parents back home here that are praying for their children to make some decisions for their lives. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you're dismissed.